It never has happened here in the city of Albany. Additionally, I think we need to have sound revenue projections. Just a few years ago, we had $2 million and $1.9 million of red light camera revenue put into the budget in two consecutive years. And that is something that very much led to our credit rating downgrade. We need stronger budgeting practices in the city of Albany. I would very much, I'm running for mayor, to institute those better management practices.
Council President.
I mean, data collection is important. It helps you make informed decisions. But ultimately, when those decisions are made, they have to be made from a perspective that puts people first. And I think that's one of the things that distinguishes me from my two opponents. It is about data. It is about numbers for them. But it's about people for me. And we have made so many decisions in the city of Albany that have just been driven by data, but have had a negative impact on the lives of people. For example, is the trash fee. Property owners, people who rent property came in and told us, please don't do this, because if you do it, we're going to pass it on to our tenants. That is indeed exactly what happened, and many people, as we go door to door, are concerned that this has had a negative impact on their life. As it relates to the red light cameras, again, we are essentially working for a contractor in another state and passing on revenue to them. I feel like we have become the outside workforce for an outside contractor.
And now with a question for the Council President, Elisa Streeter.
Council President, recently state troopers have been assigned to ride with Albany officers on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Do you think that is necessary? And if so, what should they be focused on?
When this idea was first presented by the governor a couple of months ago, I was really concerned about it because I felt like it was sending a wrong message to our neighborhoods. I think if you're going, what we need to talk about, if we're going to be dealing with crime in our city, we need to talk about crime from an economic standpoint. The people that you're looking at, do they have jobs? The neighborhoods that you're going through, is it filled with blight? What kind of message are we sending to these particular neighborhoods where these the state troopers are being targeted, along with our police department? We're sending them a message that you're the bad guys in this neighborhood. And that is not the case. We have very hardworking people in these neighborhoods where the state troopers have been have been dispatched. And I believe that they've been out there also with the police department when they've done the pop-up barbecues and the things like that. And my concern is, what are you doing after the barbecue is over? After you've served that last hot dog and hamburger, are you helping people get jobs? Are you helping with their talking with them about what their specific issues may be and what the major concerns are in the neighborhood? Are you looking at it from and I don't believe that this is a message that's being sent, that this we're doing something good for you. It's almost like we're here to hold you accountable, but we're not offering you any services that are going to bring you up out of this situation. It's about jobs for me. If you're going to change that community, bring someone in who's talking about jobs with residents, not bringing in state troopers who are just going to send a message that you all are in a situation that you can't be helped. Bring trained people that are come in, you're going to be able to come in, offer job opportunities, offer after-school opportunities for our children, and just look at it from a positive standpoint as you interact with the people in our community.
Mayor Sheehan.
Well, with respect to the ride-alongs, this is done at the direction of our police chief. So the determination as to how much or how little we utilize this resource does remain in local hands. And I've talked to people in neighborhoods who have said that they are grateful to have additional law enforcement in place. We work very closely with state law enforcement officials, with federal law enforcement officials, and it's important that they know the community that we are policing and that they are entering and exiting on a regular basis. The state police are here on a regular basis because we're the seat of state government. So when we have the opportunity to give individuals a better understanding of our neighborhoods and our communities and what our challenges are and what our opportunities are, I think it's an opportunity for us to continue to build those relationships and to continue to send a message that we care about the safety of every neighborhood.
Councilman.
It's a very timely question. I appreciate it. It's a timely because just last week we had our 26th shooting of the year on Walter Street in broad daylight. And we have some significant work to do to actually resolve our crime problems and the violence problems we have in the city of Albany. A few things that we've talked about throughout this campaign is having a traffic division where officers are deployed throughout the city. The other thing we've talked about is having a real emphasis on having real beat cops, where police officers get out of patrol cars and go out and meet people throughout the city. Now, we do need to be cognizant as well that these state troopers that are here, they are here because we do not have independence from New York State. Effectively, we have managed our finances so poorly over the past several years that we cannot stand up to the governor or to New York State when we feel they are making a decision that is not in our city's best interests. I think we need to have better management of our own city, and then we can actually have a real co-equal partnership with the folks at the state level.
And the next question from Ian Pickus will go to Councilman Commisso.
You mentioned walking the city since March. The city has undergone a Madison Avenue road diet in recent years, and new bike share stations were just set up this summer. What's your plan to make the city of Albany more pedestrian-friendly, and more importantly, how will you pay for it?
Well, we have major east-west thoroughfares in the city of Albany. Madison Avenue is just one. We also have Central Avenue. We also have Western Avenue. We have much we can do to have more people commute to work, be that via bicycle, walking. We can have people live closer to work. My concern with the Madison Avenue project is that we should have had one protected bike lane. Many folks that are cyclists have talked throughout the past several months, as we mentioned before, that I've been walking throughout the city. They've said, why did the city not have one protected bike lane and instead had two painted lanes? Well, it's a great question, and I think there's still very dangerous intersections on Madison Avenue. One of those that's one of the most dangerous in the city is Madison and Willett. So we could do much better in that regard. Now, you talked about how we would fund infrastructure projects in the city of Albany. Well, we have to have a real capital plan that was cited as well by that same auditor who cited the structural deficit of the city exceeding $20 million next year. They also cited that the city fails to have a formal capital plan. So we need to have that in place where we specify what projects we will engage in over that time period. And we need to have those funding sources laid out for multiple years. And it cannot merely just be a guess, as it currently is at the end of the budget, that changes every year. So if we put that funding and dedicate it towards streets and making our streets safer, curbs, sidewalks, water and sewer, which has been a problem as well over the past several years, having those dedicated funds be there for those infrastructure projects, I think we'll be in a much better place. And there's no doubt about it that our city has tremendous infrastructure needs. We see that all over, and we're rapidly in a position where we see those different defects throughout our city, and we would like to make those improvements. So for me as mayor, we would certainly pursue having better funding in place, work with the folks at the state level to have that funding in place, and then we would start to engage on these projects. We shouldn't just wait till an election year to actually have these infrastructure projects throughout our city.
Council President.
I, too, have been walking for several months throughout the city of Albany. And from neighborhood to neighborhood, you either find a neighborhood that has no sidewalks or you find a neighborhood where the sidewalks are so uneven that you really take your life in your own hands as you're walking down the street. Some of those, that infrastructure problem is based on some of the trees. We have some very old trees in our city whose and their roots have made their way up to the front doors of people's houses, which again has affected the sidewalks. We also have a number of other situations like that that really make it difficult to walk our city, to cross streets. And so I think what I would like to propose is that we have a person dedicated just to finding funds to deal with these types of situations in our city so that we can develop a long-term strategic plan that is going to help us deal with our infrastructure. And one of the places that I believe we could find funds is right up on Fuller Road.
Mayor Sheehan.
I'm very proud of my administration's record on this. We have done incredible infrastructure projects, and we've gotten the state to pay for a significant number of those projects. We've been incredibly successful in CFA applications. And so the Madison Avenue street calming, which was initially the council was seeking to borrow $5 million for that project, virtually all of it was paid for by state funding that is directed at making streets more complete. We've also got bike lanes on Clinton Avenue, which is a street that is probably more ideally suited for protected bike lanes, which will be a priority that we'll be looking at over the next 18 months to 2 years. And we engaged the public. I'm so that the Madison Avenue street calming is an example of my leadership style, bringing in the cycling community, bringing in the business community, talking about the trade-offs. We would have lost almost 300 parking spaces along Madison Avenue if we had done protected bike lanes. So talking about those trade-offs and what would work, and there is more to come. We've got incredible infrastructure projects, and we've got a city that is more walkable and bikeable.
Sticking with the theme of transportation, a question from Jay for Mayor Sheehan.
Since I came here about 30 years ago, I've been hearing about development of the parking district. I think it's now called the parking district. Sorry.
That's all right.
There we go. The area that was slated for a convention center and now is slated for nothing. Do you have any idea what the city can do to finally develop that property and how what the approach ought to be? Obviously, the state controls it at this point, but I think it would defer to the city if it came up with a plan.
Absolutely.
Should I repeat the question?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a soft talker, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a question about the parking district downtown, the area that was slated for the convention center and now doesn't have a plan. I'm wondering what role and what ideas the city, what role the city could play in working with the state to come up with something for that area and just what you have in mind for that.
So this is something that we are actively pursuing and have been pursuing with the state initially. We worked with the state on the initial RFP that they put out for that site, and we knew that it was going to be a challenging site. And so we have been working to demonstrate that we, I believe, are best prepared to be able to develop that site with respect to the approach to the development of that site, the fact that there are a lot of unknowns. It is a complicated site. Some of those parcels are not really owned by the state. They have lease agreements. And so we believe that we are in a strong position to partner with the state, but to take the lead with respect to redeveloping that site. We have looked at a number of options and opportunities. The state has recently undertaken and is near completion of a feasibility study for the right mix of housing, retail, office and entertainment space for that parcel. And we are also, and I have been advocating with CDTA to take a hard look at the Greyhound bus station and the potential for that to become a multimodal center. Because when you look at that site, the Greyhound bus station does become, for many, a barrier. And the resolution of what that really could be, and when you look at the number of people coming to the city and leaving the city, whether it's traveling to Boston or to New York or to Montreal, that should be a hub that we're proud of. That should be a gateway to the city that we are proud to show off. And so in looking at what the opportunities are with that site, we are very actively pursuing that, and it is something that we have become, I think, we've made a very compelling case for the city taking more of a lead role in the redevelopment of that site.
Council President.
I believe that particular site offers an opportunity for a central sort of transfer station for transportation, people that are taking public transportation within the city of Albany. And also, it's consistent with thoughts that I have about downtown economic development. If we're going to reactivate our downtown in Albany, I do believe some of the bus stops that are situated there now, I actually believe, look at them as a hindrance. And Albany, when you think of North Pearl Street, you think of it only as a bus stop because it blocks off other opportunities for development. So I believe that that site is perfect for having being a central turnaround station and transfer station for our buses that come into the city of Albany, that traverse people from one end of the city to the other, thereby opening up North Pearl Street from Hudson Madison Avenue to Clinton Avenue, where we can have an opportunity to put small businesses downtown where they can know that they have are in buildings that people have access to where they can have thriving businesses.
Councilman Commisso.
Whatever we have in that site going forward, I would certainly have three principles that we would apply. One is that it's taxable. And I know it was noted earlier that there's an equivalency between pilots and taxes. In fact, pilots are payments in lieu of taxes by name. And that we have some residential there because we do need additional folks in downtown Albany to actually be a catalyst for other businesses. And there needs to be a local benefit, right? We don't want to end up with another Park South with Bank of America and Panera and just outside companies coming in, but there needs to be a real local benefit here. But most importantly is that first item, that we have something that's taxable, and taxable very promptly. We know we need that for our children. We need that for seniors on fixed incomes. For me, that's a priority, and we will pursue that with New York State officials, but those will be the priorities that we will have for that site.
And now with a question for Council President McLaughlin, Ian Pickus.
Albany has a long and often checkered history with political dynasties. Mayor Sheehan is only the fourth elected mayor of the city since World War II. So, a simple question, do you support term limits for city office holders?
Yes, I do. I do support term limits. Because I think after a while you do... It doesn't serve us well in the long term, and that people get comfortable and believe that what they're doing is the right way as long as it's working for them, but it's not working for the people. It really doesn't matter. It's working to keep them in office, and that's it. So I would be an advocate for term limits for council members as well as for the mayor of the city of Albany.
And how many years or terms?
Two terms. I've said this before, that particularly as it relates to the mayor, I believe that the mayor should, you get in there, to take. I do believe that it takes you time to, if you know that you're going to have a term limit, then you're going to do what you need to do, get the job done, you're going to make those decisions that need to be made, and not just sit around the rest on your laurels. You have got to make decisions. Oftentimes, they're going to be difficult, but at the same time, I think people need to know that you're not going to be around for a long time, and that you're going to make decisions that are going to impact their lives personally and not just for the benefit of the candidate. I mean, I'm sitting here today because I believe that it is time for someone such as myself to step forward and talk about leading the city of Albany so that decisions are going to be made that impact everybody in a positive manner throughout the city of Albany. So certainly I am an advocate for term limits.
Councilman Commisso.
Sure. One of the things we talked about at the very beginning of this race was the need for charter reform here in the city of Albany. And we have a number of items in our charter for the city that makes us a very antiquated government that's not much in the within the expectations of residents throughout Albany. So I'm running for mayor after 8 years on the Albany Common Council, but I do know that we need charter reform here in the city. That would include providing real budgetary powers to the Albany Common Council, which right now is effectively not the case. Having the Common Council have a role in the budget amendment process. One of the biggest problems we've had in city government has been that we would have so many common council members not have a knowledge of the budget and the budget processes. So those have been problems that need to be addressed. Term limits are something that I certainly would hope that voters can use a term limit when it's needed and that they could institute a term limit. But for me, having a two-term limit would not be a problem at all.
Mayor Sheehan.
I absolutely support term limits. And two terms is, to me, is what they have in Syracuse. Two terms is what we have for our president. And I think that this is something that I supported when I ran the last time, and I continue to support it.
And now with a question for Mr. Commisso, Elisa Streeter.
Councilman Commisso, the latest Siena research poll showed Mayor Kathy Sheehan with a 50% lead among Democrats. If she is doing so well in the polls, how do you overcome that lead?
Well, I think polls are a snapshot in time that take a look at a sample of an electorate. What I do know is that I've been out walking door to door over the past five and a half months, and we have talked to many city employees and their families who feel that they do not have a voice in their workplace, and I'm glad to have the support of Albany's blue-collar workers in this race. And it's notable, I believe, that many of those employees and their families are not supporting the incumbent mayor. In Albany's political history, this has never happened, that you've had no employees of the city of Albany support the incumbent. Additionally, we've gone out and talked to voters in neighborhoods that have been forgotten, and they do exist throughout Albany. You can go to areas on the periphery of town where people have very high taxes, be that in the Pine Bush, be that in North Albany, and they have concerns then about paying such high taxes and not receiving fair, equitable services. We've talked to people that have had a trash fee imposed on them and their families, one that is very much a discriminatory trash fee calculated for just this very moment when we're running for re-election here, or running for election, and there's a calculated effort on the part of City Hall to suggest that renters will not vote and will not vote against the incumbent. Now, we've gone out and talked to all these people. We've built a great level of success and support amongst these constituencies. And for me, going forward, we will, over the next 2 weeks, go talk to even more voters, and we will activate them for September 12th. That has been the plan that we have had from the beginning of our campaign. We feel strong about it, and we're not changing that plan now. We're encouraged by everything we have seen to date. And again, a poll is a snapshot in time of a sample of voters. We feel good about where this race stands, and we will continue to go out over the next 14 days, and folks are welcome to help us if they'd like, of course, as always. We go out and talk to voters every day. We'll continue to do that, and we will be in a great position for September 12th.
Mayor Sheehan, you do not actually have to answer the question as it was posed.
Look, I think it is very important that we recognize that a poll is a snapshot in time, but I believe that the being mayor is hard work. You have to make difficult decisions. You have to make decisions that are unpopular from time to time. But I have been out in the community for the 3.5+ years that I've been mayor, and I will continue to be out in the community. I will continue to make difficult decisions that can be challenging, but that result in moving our city forward. And so I look forward to continuing to knock doors and to talk with voters and to ensure that on September 12th, our voters are there. And I believe that we will continue to move the city in a great direction. We've accomplished a great deal. There is still much work to be done. And I'm encouraged and grateful to all of those out there who do believe that we are moving in the right direction.
Council President?
I do know that when the poll was taken, there were 600 people that were called, and there were the likely voters. Everyone knows, and I've all been advised by a number of people, that it is the unlikely voter that I'm going to need to win. And those are not the people that were called. So I would defy anyone in the room here to raise their hand if they know somebody who was called, or if you were called yourself. And those are not the people that they are some of the folks that I'm searching for, but I'm also looking for that person who is now energized by the fact that I'm running. And we are still in it. We are in it to win it. And I don't want anyone to be discouraged by those numbers that were put out a couple of weeks ago, because those polls have been known to be wrong. And we know that all too well, don't we, here in this country? But we also know it in New York State. 4 years ago, lovely Warren in Rochester was predicted not to win, and she's now running for re-election.
All right. A question again from Elisa Streeter, and this one goes to Mayor Sheehan.
Mayor Sheehan, the DEC is currently testing the air quality in South Albany because of the train, truck, and ship traffic at the Port of Albany. If it comes back with dangerous levels of air pollution, what do you propose to do for residents who have no choice but to live there and breathe the air?
Well, we are really working to ensure that we understand what the causes of the air quality issues are, if there are determined to be air quality issues. There certainly are quality of life issues, and we've been working with the residents as well as with the port and with the users of the port to address some of the quality of life issues for those living at Ezra Prentice. But when it comes to air quality, I think it's really important that we understand and know whether the air quality issues are emanating from the port itself, in which case there may need to be enforcement action taken against operators in the port who are exceeding limits that are permitted at from the permits that they have, the air emission permits that they have. If the air quality issues are related to diesel trucks along Pearl Street that are going in and out of the port into areas beyond the port, then that's an issue that we need to address with DOT to determine whether or not we can move that truck traffic from that area and positively impact the air quality issues there. It's a complex issue. When you talk to residents at Ezra, many of them love where they live. They like their where they are. They like the convenience of it. They like that it's quiet. They like that it is a safe place for them. And so before we uproot people, I think it's really important that we know what is driving the issues there and how can we do everything in our power to improve that air quality, improve that quality of life without uprooting people. But if we have to uproot people, then we will move forward and ensure that the residents of Ezra are living in a place that is safe.
Councilman Commisso.
What is important here in this instance is that we also understand how we got here. And there was decisions made many years ago that from an urban planning perspective, we're wrong. We put a large population right next to effectively an industrial site, Port of Albany. Now, going forward here, I think what we need to very much offer as City of Albany, and I would as mayor, is housing options to folks living at Ezra, and even folks that we may very well find from a science perspective live higher up the hill, that because of wind conditions or other factors, that we find out that they too have a negative health impact from the operations at the port. We should not be creating population centers next to contaminated sites, contaminated air. For me as mayor, we will provide those housing options. And again, that would provide an option to a family to move into another part of the city, obviously much further and from a scientific and health perspective, more safely away from that site of pollution.
Council President.
For nearly the past 4 years, I've been a part of conversations with council representatives in the South End that represent those individuals and families at Ezra Prentice, and also in conversations with DEC, and most recently, last week, we were in a meeting with the governor's secretary for the environment to continue to talk about how are we going to address the concerns at Ezra Prentice Homes. And I believe that is the start. We have to continue to be in conversation to let people know that we are concerned about you, and it's not just enough to put up a monitoring station, but what are you going to do with the information you get from that monitoring station? How is that information going to be disseminated to the people so that they can understand it and recognize that if you have an option to leave, will you take it? But I will tell you, I have been tagged to the wall when I've mentioned to people about moving. Because you have two and three generations of people that live there, and it's up to them whether they want to leave or not.
And now to Ian Pickus with a question for the Council President.
The city has been discussing in recent months what should be done with its waste once the Rapp Road landfill meets capacity. This could present new costs for the city in addition to new physical challenges. What is your plan to address the future of waste management in the city?
Well, first and foremost, I believe that we have to enter into an educational process for our residents in our city. People have to understand what it means to be reduce, recycle, reuse, and understand how you are contributing to the landfill closing. Whether it closes in 2020 or 2023, you have to talk to people at the lowest level of comprehension about what does it mean, what are you taking into your house that is going to determine what you're going to bring out of your house. Also, I think that we need to move to talk about some of these concepts that are going on around the country and around the world as it relates to trash. There's a concept called trash banking. I mean, tell people to look at trash as a financial as well as an environmental issue. When you see people going through your neighborhood on trash night, going through it looking for bottles, cans, metal, copper, they're trash banking. They're looking for money. So if you turn this an opportunity for money, so if you turn this, begin to teach people about recycling and what trash means, I think that they'll, and look at it from a financial standpoint, I think you'll get a different response in terms of bringing our recycling rate up. Because at this point now, they say each one of us generates over 800 pounds of trash, but we recycle only about 100 pounds for 11% recycling rate. We have got to do better. Another concept that I would propose is curbside composting. Now, we're going to close a landfill.